A very special guest today. His name is Mr. Ronald Kessler. Mr. Kessler is an award-winning journalist whose career has spanned several decades, including many years with the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, author of 19 books, including a New York Times bestsellers, and his most recent book that's just been released, The Secrets of the FBI. Mr. Kessler serves as chief Washington correspondent at Newsmax magazine, has interviewed President Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, and many others, and we're fortunate to have him today. Mr. Kessler, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me this. During your interview with President Bush, tell me the interesting stories that you heard and share with us from your book some of the things that that you have in there and some of the most interesting facts.
Well, in my latest book, The Secrets of the FBI, I think the most amazing material is how the FBI breaks into homes and offices to plant bugging devices, all authorized by court order, of course, but basically, if they are caught, let's say going into an embassy or even a mafia home or a terrorist home, they could be shot as burglars. And so what they do is, several weeks before the break-in, they will do surveillance of the premises. They'll see who goes in, who goes out. And then on the night of the break-in, they'll watch at the home of anybody who might go back to the premises. And if they do, they will divert them. They'll dress as police officers and stop them, or stage a phony traffic accident, or they will open a fire hydrant in the area so nobody can go back. They actually bring their own dust in case they disturb any dust on a coffee table or desktop. They replace it with their own dust. Before, also, they take a photo of any dog that might be on the premises, and they show it to a veterinarian who's on contract, and he prescribes just the right amount of tranquilizer to shoot into the dog with a dart gun. At the end of the break-in, they wake up the dog again with another shot because they don't want any sleepy dogs, you know, that might create suspicion. They will if they're going to break into a home, let's say, in the middle of the night, in order to shield them as they're picking the locks, they will create a phony front of the house and hide behind that. They'll take a photo of the front of the house, blow that up into a huge tarp that they drape over the front of the house, and then working behind that tarp, they will fix locks and defeat the alarm systems. For the same reason, they create a phony bush. They'll have two agents who hold this phony bush. They'll walk slowly towards the front of the house in the middle of the night, and the bush will shield them from any passersby. And one final item is they go to elevator school to learn how to take control of elevators so that if they have to put bugs in an office suite, they will take control of one of the elevators in the office building. They'll get on top of the elevator, on top of the roof. They'll ride around on the elevator during the day, and then in the middle of the night, come out, put the bugs in the suite, and then they'll get back in the elevator. And in the morning, they'll come out wearing business suits.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. Just one little glimpse of the secret FBI.
Wow. Tell me this. Specifically, and I'm sure there's examples in your book, specifically, as you talk to President Bush and as you've learned this about the FBI, where has this been used in instances that we would recognize?
Say it again. What?
Where were these kind of techniques used in instances that we'd recognize from the news and other places?
Yeah. Well, this technique is something that never came out before, and it's something that I really I think is astonishing that the FBI actually gave me this. Bob Mueller, the FBI director, actually approved giving me the material. They actually showed me a real bug. It was the size of a postage stamp, a little bit thicker, and it will record for 20 hours or it'll transmit as you wish, all in stereo. As I was being given all this material, I was thinking to myself, am I going to be arrested or are they going to be arrested? Amazing. But I also reveal in this book secrets, for example, that just after the death of Marilyn Monroe, a teletype came into headquarters from the head of the FBI field office in Los Angeles, saying that he had just lent his personal car to Bobby Kennedy, the Attorney General, to go see Marilyn just before her death. And I confirmed that with his children, who said that on a regular basis, their father would lend his car to Bobby to go see Marilyn. So real on-the-record confirmation that Bobby was having an affair with Marilyn. He probably had just broken up with her. That's what happened. That's why she committed suicide. Another suicide involving Vince Foster. It was a suicide. He was depressed, but the FBI found, and this never came out before, that about a week before his assassination, his suicide, the Hillary Clinton had a big meeting in the White House with Vince Foster and other White House aides about her health care legislation.
Right.
And he disagreed violently or very strenuously with one of the provisions. She ridiculed him in front of all these aides and said, "You're just a small-town hick lawyer. You'll never make it in the big time." After that, his demeanor changed. He became very withdrawn. He would break into tears easily. And then a week later, he committed suicide. And so the FBI agents who investigated this say on the record that that meeting is what triggered his suicide.
Mm. Wow. Wow. All right. So from your interview specifically with George Bush, anything interesting come out of that? Lots of things.
That was actually when he was still in the White House. It is amazing how articulate and in command he is when he's just in a small group, as opposed to at a press conference when he mangles his words. He becomes very strained. It's an incredible difference. I know White House aides have always been totally frustrated by that. They just wish that he could project that in a big meeting. I did just recently interview Dick Cheney, in fact, last week, in connection with his new book. And he said that, I asked him, do you think that Israel would bomb Iran nuclear facilities if Iran continues with its nuclear program? And he said yes. And I said, was that based on what you've been told by Israeli leaders? And he said, well, I can't quite say that, but I have had many discussions with Israeli leaders about this. I thought one of the really amazing things, though, was I asked him if he was aware that after Saddam Hussein's capture, an FBI agent by the name of George Pirro debriefed Saddam for about 7 months, won his confidence. In fact, when they parted, Saddam teared up. There was so much trust created between them. And according to Pirro, and I reported this in a previous book, Saddam admitted to Pirro that he was bluffing about WMD. He wanted America to be afraid of him, and what better way than if Iran thought that he had nuclear weapons. But he also said that he was planning to resume his nuclear weapons program within about a year when he thought that sanctions against him would be lifted, in part because of his payoffs to UN officials. And he said that he planned on developing a nuclear weapon. Now, wouldn't you think that that's something that American people should know about, and certainly Dick Cheney should have known about? But the news media never picked it up. Very few news outlets ran the story. And so we're in the dark about something that's very important in evaluating the fact that we did go to war with Iraq.
Let me ask you this, kind of changing the subject just a little, but still on the same theme. In your reporting on the FBI as an author, give us a sense where the FBI is on handling homegrown terror, and does political interference, does that get in the way of the FBI doing its job?
Well, I interviewed Art Cummings, who was in charge of counterterrorism at the FBI until last year, and he was very candid about what the FBI thinks about the Obama administration. He said, this idea of calling terrorists homegrown, calling them man-caused disasters is a disaster, that the idea of trying KSM in New York was irresponsible, that the FBI was never even asked about it. Afterwards, Eric Holder's Justice Department asked him to evaluate the security implications, and he refused. He said it was just used for political purposes. On the other hand, he said that there's no real problem with giving terrorists Miranda warnings. He explained how the FBI gets around that, gets their cooperation regardless. But in terms of the actual investigations, he said no, there's been no political interference, at least nothing that they acceded to. And homegrown terrorists are the biggest threat now. The lone wolf, who's not connected to Al-Qaeda but is inspired by the jihadist message, is most difficult to uncover because, of course, he doesn't communicate with anybody, so it's harder to intercept his communications, his finances. But one thing the FBI has done is create what they call tripwires, where chemical companies or shipping companies are urged by the FBI to report anything suspicious. And that actually led to the arrest of an alleged terrorist who planned to blow up George W. Bush's home in Dallas recently. Another change is that the FBI has become very prevention-oriented. So now the primary emphasis is on getting clues to the next plot as opposed to putting someone in jail right away.
You just mentioned, and you're in the position to know, doing the research that you have with the CIA and FBI and law enforcement, you just mentioned a near miss with George W. Bush's house. Can you, any other near misses that haven't made the press much that we should know about?
Well, there was the Zazi terrorist attempt that was publicized. He was going to blow up subways in
right.
New York. That was uncovered with the help of the teams I mentioned that plant bugs, and they also go into computers. There have been other plots that have been rolled up. A lot of times the FBI will come up with lesser charges or just expel them rather than spend years developing all the evidence. Just stop that plot, get rid of these people, put them in jail on more minor charges. So a lot of arrests are made that are not directly terrorism related, but really are. And we'll never know the full number of plots that could have taken place if it had not been for these roll-ups of terrorists. And by the way, the CIA has rolled up some 5,000 terrorists worldwide since 9/11. Again, wow. We'll never know the number of lives that have been saved because of that.
We were talking today to Ronald Kessler. His book is The Secrets of the FBI, among 19 other books that he's written. But that one, that book, if someone wants to buy the book, where do they go to buy it?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any bookstore, or my website, ronaldkessler.com. The book is now on the New York Times bestseller list.
All right, outstanding. Mr. Kessler, thanks so much for being with us.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we're coming up on